Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Mothball Prophecies. I am your host, Jonathan. After last week's episode and the episode before that, where we discussed the events of Charles Hickson and Calvin Parker, we are back in Louisiana, specifically back in New Orleans, where we will be discussing the legend of Grunch Road. But before we do, I want to tell you, I am very excited. We have a brand new piece of equipment in the studio, which is revolutionizing our workflow here. I am now capable of mixing sounds, taking phone calls from guests. We may be able to have interviews in the near future, take live phone calls from listeners and discuss the weird things, the paranormal, UFOs, ghosts, cryptids, what have you. Super excited about this. May even hook up the camera so that we could do some live streaming shows if y'all are interested. But anyway, in today's episode, we're going to take a look at the legend of Grunch Road, as I mentioned, and the eponymous monster associated with the road, known as the Grunch. So sit back, pour yourself a Lysol teeny, stick a cathode ray where the sun don't shine, and let's get started. I would like to acknowledge our main source of information for this episode. It is the internet. You see, no one has actually published a non-fictional or even factual account of Grunch Road, and after diving into the various sources online, I can kind of see why. You see, no two accounts seem to agree on the origins of the Grunch, what it looks like, or even where the hell Grunch Road is supposed to be. Like many things in New Orleans, opinions on Grunch Road are very strong, and I'm actually looking forward to the day we're allowed to commingle in bars again so that I can gather some good stories and compare notes from people who live here and who have either encountered the Grunch or know tales from people who know people, friends of friends, stuff like that. But for now, brace yourselves for a very convoluted tale, a few of them actually, that span Marie Laveau, Delphine Lalaurie, little people, societal outcasts, and chupacabras. So now that you're all settled in, what's a Grunch? Well, it depends on who you ask. Some will tell you that the Grunch is not a singular creature. You see, way, way back in the day, when New Orleans was even more Catholic than it is now, people such as albinos and those with dwarfism were supposedly cast out of society. Now, I bet you're wondering, would a loving God and that God's followers shun people just because they look different in any way? I mean, certainly we couldn't find modern-day examples of supposedly Christian churches rallying against people just because they're different, could we? So, in all honesty, the answer was pretty easy for me to find because all I had to do was open up the Bible to Leviticus 21:16, which states, "No man of your descendants in succeeding generations who has any defect may approach to offer the bread of his God. For any man who has a defect shall not approach, a man blind or lame, who has a marred face or any limb too long, a man who has a broken foot or broken hand, or is a hunchback or a dwarf, or a man who has a defect in his eye, or eczema or scab, or is a eunuch. No man of the descendants of Aaron the priest who has a defect shall come near to offer the offerings made by fire to the Lord. He has a defect, He shall not come near to offer the bread of his God. He may eat the bread of his God, both the most holy and the holy. Only he shall not go near the veil or approach the altar, because he has a defect, lest he profane my sanctuaries, for I, the Lord, sanctify them. I mean, it's no big shock finding weird things in Leviticus. Who seem to hate dwarves, the blind, gay people, people with tattoos, the people who ate shrimp, and who wore blended fabrics. Leviticus never knew the luxury of having 15 denier rayon blend against his bare skin. But I digress. So these people were cast out of society in early New Orleans and forced to live in the wild, where they stayed together, broke bread together, and, well, bred together. With no one else coming into the fold, the family tree eventually looked more like a stump, though remnants of that group still exist today, supposedly. One of these descendants is hunched, with scaly skin, tangled, ratty hair, and sharp teeth, and is known to drag people away from the road and into the woods and swamps where they are never heard from again. That is one version of the tale of the Grunch, at least. The second version ties itself to two legendary figures in New Orleans history, Marie Laveau and Delphine LaLaurie. When Marie Laveau had to fight Madame LaLaurie's devil baby, she castrated... And you know what? Let me back up a bit for those who are unfamiliar with the strange history of New Orleans, because I'm sure everything made sense until you heard me say devil baby. And now you've completely forgotten what this episode was about. It's about the Grunch. But what the hell is a devil baby? Actually, the devil baby should have an episode of its own, because it, too, has an overlapping and confusing history. The very truncated version of the story of the devil baby, well, at least one version anyway, goes as follows. A young Creole woman married a wealthy plantation owner. The plantation owner wanted a male heir, but his new wife only gave him girls. Six, to be exact. When she became pregnant with her seventh child, she sought the services of the Creole voodoo queen herself, Marie Laveau, and asked her to make sure this child would be a male. However, while Marie Laveau wanted to help this woman, she despised the plantation owner, saying she'd rather this next child be the son of the devil. Supposedly, though history points in a different direction, on Mardi Gras Day, the young woman gave birth to Satan's son, the devil baby. The plantation owner was none too pleased by having the child of the devil to call a son, so he went directly to Marie Laveau and demanded she kill the baby. But instead of killing the baby, Marie Laveau went up Royal Street to the door of Madame Delphine LaLaurie, who assumed the role of the devil baby's godmother. Now, I have to apologize to my New Orleans listeners, because this one short story is kind of like a zip file and needs a ton of unpacking. And even when you do that and dive into the history books, a lot of the data is rather corrupted. So it's unfair to kind of insert this into the middle of an episode about the Grunch. Also, the idea that Marie Laveau, the Creole voodoo queen, would have a burgeoning friendship with Delphine LaLaurie, well known for the severe and sadistic abuse she would inflict on her slaves, kind of hints that this story was probably made up. A little more specifically, probably made up by white people. More specific than that, probably made up by white people in the tourism industry. But anyway, at one point later on in the story, the devil baby attacked Marie Laveau. But she didn't kill it. Instead, she castrated it. And as the devil baby's testicles fell to the floor, they turned into two horrible monsters and sprang through the window, never to be seen again. And those testicles are thought by some to be the Grunch. Or two Grunches? Grunchi? Anyway, there happens to be a third incarnation of the Grunch, which seems to be more in line with cryptozoology post-1990. In this version, the Grunch is very much like a chupacabra, or goatsucker. The creature is green, with a tail and tiny sharp fangs that it uses to drain the blood of its victims. I put an artist rendering of the Grunch on our Facebook page a little while ago, if you want to go check it out. There are stories of goats and cattle going missing from local farms and attributed to the Grunch, and they supposedly date back hundreds of years. Not unusual. But since then, the Grunch has been reported as a part human, part reptile, part goat creature. In some versions of the tales, it has cloven hooves. In others, it has wings. And that makes me wonder if the Jersey Devil has migratory patterns. But I'll actually touch on that thought a little bit later. So those are the tales of and descriptions of the beast itself. So where is the fabled Grunch Road? As one would expect, the answer is also somewhat lost to history. See, there is no official Grunch Road as such in New Orleans, but the Grunch itself has been seen in almost every parish surrounding New Orleans. Most think the original Grunch Road became Gannon Road or Hayne Boulevard out in the Little Woods neighborhood, and someone supposedly took a photograph of a Grunch in that area, though it's not really clear as to what the object in the photograph actually is. I'll post a photo of that on the Facebook page as well, and let everyone out there try and figure out what's in that shot. Others think that Grunch Road is Paris Road. Still others think the original Grunch Road was in Lower Algiers, or River Road, or in Eastern NOLA between Bullard and Crowder. For all I can tell, almost every neighborhood in New Orleans has tried to lay claim to Grunch Road. Since the 1950s and 60s, it has been a thing. Grunch Road. Look out for the Grunch. Don't travel across Grunch Road. Don't travel along there. The Grunch will get you. And that kind of made me realize something. We have, since the 20th century, developed a sort of urban monomyth. That is to say, if you look in any city or small town even, you will find tales of that one haunted road, that one specific spot where weird things happen, that asylum that burned to the ground that may or may not exist in historical records. I mean, I when I was a kid, I grew up in northern New Jersey and then upstate New York. I lived along the Hudson River. There were tales that, not so PC at all, as a matter of fact, downright racist, tales of the Melungeons. Now, Melungeons are classified as people of at least three races who bred. You will find tales of, though not historically accurate, Anasazi Jews and Native Americans and runaway slaves down in the southeast. In the northeast, the Melungeons, or at least the version of them that were purported back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and up until the early 2000s, were Native American, runaway slaves and revolutionary soldiers who had enclaves all along the Hudson River where they just inbred so much to the point where the cops, or at least in the tales, the cops were afraid to go into these areas because, you know, it made Deliverance look like an episode of Leave It to Beaver. These people were called the Jackson Whites. Also, an awesomely racially tinged term. I don't know if it was, you know, a riff on Jackson Heights or something that's even more racist. You know, I grew up with tales of the Jersey Devil. There are tons of tales of the Jersey Devil. Tons of podcasts that have gone into the origins of the Jersey Devil. You know, I grew up traveling through the Pine Barrens of New Jersey, which is just pretty creepy on its own if you're just wandering through it and you don't know any of these tales. But the Jersey Devil was a creature whose appearance kind of morphed over the years, much like in this episode, the tale of the Grunch morphed over the years. And if you break down the historical facts about the Jersey Devil, it just kind of disappears. It's a joke in literature. It has no truly factual basis as far as a cryptid goes. You know, the tales of the Grunch that involve Marie Laveau and Madame Lalaurie that probably did not exist. Otherwise, we'd be putting devil babies in our king cakes, which would actually be kind of awesome if anyone wants to start doing that next year. You know, the enclaves of albinos and dwarfs breeding together in the bayous of Louisiana may have happened. It may not have as well. What I'm getting at is that these stories are fascinating and they happen all over the country. They may not have the same names, but the structure and the way they tie into historical events and sometimes historical people to lend credibility to the tales, it is, to me, fascinating. From New Jersey to New York to Virginia to monsters in Florida to Louisiana, specifically New Orleans, which is host to many, many strange creatures and tales, to New Mexico, to Texas, to Arizona, to the Pacific Northwest, to Michigan and Chicago and Detroit, to the more modern era of, let's even say, Roswell, New Mexico. The alien story, or the story of alien crashes, of weird happenings in New Mexico, or of weird happenings in Roswell or at Area 51 or Groom Lake, if I really want to get specific, those are modern takes on what I consider now to be older myths or myths that are almost a century old. The storytelling structure is still there. And I find it utterly fascinating when I talk to someone from a different state or from a different town even and say, hey, what are the tales that you grew up with? What are the ones your parents grew up with? These are all very American myths. And if you do some digging where you live, odds are you'll find some of these similar tales. And I'd love to hear them. Just send them to mothball@crescentcitymedia.com. As for the modern-day grunch, there were a number of sightings after Katrina, supposedly. Though, there really haven't been many sightings of the grunch since then. As far as where the grunch is found in modern-day media, there was a good story by Brent Valdez titled The Grunch, which can be found in the anthology Nights in New Orleans, Bizarre Beats from the Big Easy. And, of course, Mothball Prophecy's show favorites, The Tomb of Nick Cage, released a song titled Grunch Road on their album Cryptids and Creatures, which you should all check out. I'll post links to them and their music in the show notes. Seriously, get their music and help support an amazing local band. If you like theatrical horror rock, you definitely need to check out The Tomb of Nick Cage. And that about wraps it up for us. Don't forget, if you like this episode, tell your friends about it and check out our Facebook page. You can always follow me on Facebook or on Twitter at Mothball Show. If you have any topics you'd like to hear covered on the Mothball Prophecies, or if you've had a strange brush with the paranormal, I'd love to hear about it. We've got a lot of topics on deck for the future, but until then, sleep tight.